Kia ora and welcome to the See Tomorrow First podcast. I'm Courtney Peters, Group Marketing Manager for NZ Tech. See Tomorrow First is a shared industry and government initiative created by your industry body NZ Tech alongside NZTE and NZ Story to shine a spotlight on New Zealand's amazingly innovative tech companies and share their stories with the world. I'm joined today by our guest, Ben Gleisner. Ben is the founder and global CEO of Kogo and was recently recognised as the most impactful entrepreneur at the Pacific Basin Economic Council's ESG Awards. Ben founded Kogo in 2010 with the mission of combating climate change by understanding and therefore positively influencing consumer spending. Kogo recognises that impactful climate action is a collective effort that's enabled through improving data comprehension and providing simple mitigation guidance. We're going to talk about Kogo's approach to scaling their purpose-led SaaS company to the world and the unique offering and opportunity for climate-focused technologies born in New Zealand. Tēnā koe, Ben. Thank you for joining me today.
Morena, everyone. Good to be here.
I'd love to start by talking about your inspiration for creating Kogo. So what were the problems you wanted to solve then, and what is Kogo's mission today?
I guess the problem we were trying to solve was actually initially when I was in government. So I was working at the New Zealand Treasury, leading on the international negotiations for the UN climate treaty. So that's 2008, I think I started that. And I think we spent 2 years flying around. Like, I tried to tell them that I didn't want to go business class because, you know, more carbon emissions. Well, long story short, I had to fly business class. And there were probably 10,000 other people flying business class to these, you know, conferences. And I just felt like we were just doing lots of talking and not a lot of action. So I suppose that's what inspired me. I was like, we've got to think about a smarter way of driving climate action and use software technology. And so that's where Kogo was born. I'll give one cred. Treasury gave me a 4-day working week so I could set up Kogo in my 1 day off. So yeah, and I guess the last, I don't know, 14 years is history.
Amazing. And do you think the mission of Kogo has changed since then, or is it still?
It's still focused. I mean, Kogo initially tried to address all of the different, you know, plastic waste and inequality, living wage, climate. So as the mission back then was like, let's align people's spending with their values. I think over the last sort of, I suppose the last 4 or 5 years, we focus a lot more on climate as the sort of, you know, if we can't get people to shift their spending for climate change, we're pretty screwed. So anyway, let's start on climate. And that's where we've been focusing the last few years.
Awesome. And for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with the climate tech sector, I don't know if you consider yourselves climate tech or fintech or both. How does this subsector play within the wider tech industry, and how does Kogo show up?
You know, climate for a long time was sort of, let's point the finger at the government and help them sort of, well, help focus their efforts on climate rather than thinking about what we as individuals, let's say households or even SMEs, can do about it. So I suppose Kogo's is a climate tech, sometimes climate fintech, if you want to get even more specific. And I think, yeah, what I guess the world's realized is what changes behavior is, you know, Airbnb and Uber. They're two examples that have disrupted, you know, people's spending and I guess created, you know, a different economy, if you like. And I think climate tech is generally hardware is one side of it. So that's like the technology to get, I don't know, plant-based proteins, you know, created, or moving to, I suppose, more efficient solar technologies and things. So that's sort of the hardware side of climate tech, if you like. We're more on the software side of it, which is how do you use software to, I suppose, connect up these, you know, low carbon products and services with consumers and businesses that want to buy them. So, yeah.
So you've evolved tremendously over the last 13 years with a notable shift from consumers to financial institutions in 2021, allowing you to create that meaningful impact at scale. Can you walk us through kind of how you moved through that change?
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, we were originally called Conscious Consumers back when I was at Treasury 2010. So we're a consumer app doing all the things I described. 2015, sort of we partnered with Paymark New Zealand and allowed you to register your debit card. So in other words, you could see where you were spending and we could tell you whether it was, you know, paying a living wage or allowing you to bring your own cup and things like that. So trying to help people be aware of their spending. Then in 2018, moved to the UK. We became the first sustainability powered open banking platform, which is on the app. Instead of connecting one debit card in the UK, you could connect any bank account. that you had, and we could see all of the spending and we could start analyzing that. And that's sort of where we were 2018, 19. And we got, I don't know, 50,000 people using our app, linking their debit card and credit card, and I guess being told about different ways of spending more sustainably, let's say. But I think when the banks saw that, and especially when they saw us starting to measure the carbon footprint of people's spending, the banks were like, hey, this looks pretty cool. Can you build this into our banking experience? And the NatWest app was the first in the world where open the NatWest app now and you can see your spending and see the carbon footprint of that spending inside the mobile app. And I think we had like 50,000 people sign up in 2 or 3 days, and we'd spent, you know, 5 years to get the first 50,000 on the app. So we just reached so many more people. We're now in front of 32 million people through banking apps around the world. So just scale. And yeah, it's an important issue to get, you know, in front of people. And downloading some app on the app store is less likely to get the scale than working within existing technologies. And that's where we got.
Amazing. What would you say have been your biggest challenges as you've kind of scaled to that 32 million people? Was that
moving my family to the UK and dealing with UK immigration? So I'm born in the UK, and but my partner wasn't. And so anyway, the dramas of migrating a family across the world, probably one of the biggest challenges. I guess we've been pretty good with funding. The last couple of years have been a little trickier. So I think this technology we've built is something that in 5 years we'll be like, oh, do you remember, like, you know, when the bank didn't have carbon footprinting and helping you manage carbon, like somehow seen as, yeah, so we're quite new, it's fair to say. And so one of the challenges has always been, you know, we're trying to sell something that the world needs, but sort of right now is sort of still trying to get their head around whether or not it fits in with this current budget cycle and things. So I suppose just that challenge of being ahead of the current market.
And did you feel that being on the ground in the UK was necessary for scale? That's why you moved?
Yeah, so we realized, I mean, we current customers, 95% or 97%, I think it is, of our revenues are exports. So we work with banks primarily around the world. And I suppose when we were in New Zealand, it's not that we can't run this, we run the company really efficiently out of New Zealand, but to get that sort of first major big global bank going into the UK market was really critical. The UK market also had quite a lot of support for companies and promoting a lot of this climate tech, let's say. So I think we got the Financial Conduct Authority Green Fintech of the Year, for example, in 2019. So I think we used a lot of that government support in the UK to help us grow, as well as the software. Like, this open banking thing was critical, and it wasn't here in New Zealand. So there's many reasons why we went, but I was very happy to come back. Early 2020, COVID was hitting, and we were just like, it's time to get out of here, and we left.
Is your team remote as well? I've met a few of the others. And
we're based, I'm in offices here in the NZX building down on the waterfront in Wellington. So we have a team here, but the vast majority are around the world. So as in, like, yeah, Japan, Hong Kong, Singapore, all through Europe and Toronto as well. So we've got a global team. We've got offices in Tokyo, Wellington and London. And then the rest of the team is remote.
And is that a challenge, like managing a team environment when you're so kind of spread?
Sure. I think we run Cogo 24 hours a day because there's always somebody awake during the, I suppose, the working week. It's no question, yeah, one of the challenges. But we've managed to set up pretty good systems and autonomy where our UK team has a CEO that runs that region. So quite autonomous rather than trying to be too, like, yeah, central sort of control, if you like. But yeah, it is, it's not easy. But I want to live in New Zealand and we want to be a Kiwi company. So that's where our head office is. And it happens the rest of the world needs this product. So we are ultimately going to be servicing countries all around the world.
Awesome. So let's move on from challenges then and talk about triumphs. What's your biggest success so far that you're kind of the most proud of?
I think working with the banks like NatWest, I mean, it's not easy getting large financial institutions to buy products full stop, you know, so it's not easy to sell to banks. Everyone will say that it takes, you know, a year, 2 years, whatever, to get the relationships. But I think what I'm most proud of is the fact that we've secured probably the 20 most progressive banks doing work in this space around the world. So we've become the world's best at supporting individuals, households to manage carbon through the banking partnerships we've got. So I think that's what I'm proud of. I think NatWest is you know, on track to have 1 million people use the product just in their one bank. And I think that's more than 20% of their customers. And so being able to say that we've managed to, you know, show that climate change is not just an issue that a small bunch of, you know, fringe customers care about. It's actually, you know, one in five people do want to put their hand up and say, press a button, please help me do something about this issue. And I think that shows really good promise for the world, you know, for civilization, if you like, that there are people that want to do this. So yeah, proud of that.
Absolutely. That's really heartening. I also saw a stat somewhere that was something about customers of the banks that are using your products are more likely to recommend them to.
NPS scores. And I mean, ING, when we launched in Netherlands, the feature was the most highest rated feature they've ever launched in the banking app. NPS scores of Santander Bank, when customers, you know, use the product, they scored the bank, you know, I think 14 points higher on NPS than others that weren't. So I think there's a real strong demand for these sorts of things from people, you know, like you and me and many of the listeners that are like, well, yes, the government will do their bit and try and sort of set up these, you know, regulations and support. But ultimately, it comes down to us to do something. And information is really important. It's really hard to know what to do. And all the barriers to like getting solar on our roof, for example, it's just so hard. And there's so many different steps. So you want to try and simplify that entire process. So getting solar and getting an electric car and putting batteries in your house is as easy as pressing one button and on Amazon. So you just basically have the same thing happen. Anyway, that's the plan.
That's awesome. So as part of the See Tomorrow First campaign, NZT have done a bunch of research with tech decision makers in our kind of target global markets of the US, UK, Singapore and Australia. And it showed, the research has shown that New Zealand is generally perceived to be environmentally conscious on the world stage. Is that something that you notice when you were building relationships with those large banks?
Yeah, I think New Zealand probably has two defining qualities that we obviously represent and, you know, that's good for us, but it's also genuine. And actually the first one is around integrity. I think it's not just the way we play sport. It's not just our leaders and things. It's just New Zealand as a whole has, I think, a real, you know, strong sense of like, what's, you know, what's right, but also being honest and being, you know, a good citizen, let's say, in the world. And I think that integrity, definitely we leverage, or we are that sort of company. And then the second is, yeah, the focus on a sort of more sustainable world, for right or wrong, in some cases not always right, but New Zealand is seen as this country that's like just like heaven, and it's got this like beautiful environment, and maybe it's that we've stood up for you know, issues around things like climate, not as much as I'd like. But anyway, yes, we leverage that so-called clean green brand quite a lot. But it's also something that we believe in. So we're aligned. And See Tomorrow First, the tag I always say is, often we're on calls with people in America, banks and the like, and I'm like, it's already tomorrow here. And by the way, climate change is real and we've got to do something about it. So if we want the future to be, you know, a better future, come listen to us because we see tomorrow first. Yeah,
I love that so much. That's awesome. So as you know, New Zealand tech is one of our largest export earners in New Zealand, and it's rapidly growing. Before you leave us today, what do you think New Zealand tech has to offer to the world?
Well, I think it's got absolutely the potential to take over other industries. Ironically, number one is it's a lower carbon export than the other two, let's say, ahead of us at the moment. And I think in the world that is being, you know, I guess regulations around disclosures and the consumer demand shifting and stuff, like, we need to think about the carbon footprint of our exports. So I think one thing New Zealand technology offers for us as a country is an export sector that's low carbon. In terms of what we offer the world, I think, you know, we're innovative. We've got like this like can-do attitude. So the combination of being able to like think creatively about solutions, but also just get stuck in and do it. Like, you know, when you travel the world, you end up meeting these organizations and cultures that are just super hierarchical, and there's so much process, and there's like, you know, not that, and they're schooled in a way that like doesn't really build any sense of like think for yourself type approaches. So I think New Zealand can use like those skills and technology to really sort of take it to the world. It's also, it's so easy to sell technology. There's no big gaps and distances from our export market. So I think New Zealand can do as well. I always say in the UK, you wake up and all the problems the banks had the day before are solved because we're up overnight as well. So I think we've got a good time zone to solve, definitely through Europe and the East Coast of the States. And we've got a track record. I mean, you know, Yes Zero and other technology companies, Rocket Labs, you know, there's a whole bunch of good sort of cases of how we've succeeded. And Kogo wants to be one of those successes with a focus around that environmental impact as well.
Amazing. Perfect way to end. Thanks so much for joining us, Ben.
Thanks so much. Sunny day here in Wellington, as it always is. But yeah, no, all good. Good to be home after a trip away and nice to be on the call.
That's it for this episode of the See Tomorrow First podcast. See Tomorrow First is all about making New Zealand technology world famous, and there are lots of ways for you to leverage the campaign to help scale your tech offshore. No matter where you're at on your tech journey, check out our huge range of tools and resources at seetomorrowfirst.nz. You can listen to this podcast plus other episodes by visiting the See Tomorrow First website, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. It's been a pleasure to host you today. I'm Courtney Peters from NZ Tech. Nga mihi nui.